Imagine the moment you turn the key in your front door, and instead of relief, your stomach tightens with a familiar, quiet dread. You aren't entering a sanctuary. You are stepping into a high-stakes audit where your performance is mandatory, but your appreciation is entirely optional. This isn't just bad luck or a rough patch. It is the result of a rigged psychological architecture designed to extract your stability while guaranteeing you nothing in return. Today, we are going to dismantle the mechanics of this broken contract to show you why the game isn't just difficult. It is structurally impossible to win. Which brings us to the role you've been forced to play. In the past, marriage was a survival pact. Two allies back to back against a harsh world. Today, that structure has quietly mutated into a vendor-client relationship where you are the sole service provider. Think of your role in the household not as a partner, but as a piece of critical infrastructure, like the power grid or the Wi-Fi. When you are functioning perfectly, providing the funds, the safety, and the stability, you are invisible, simply doing what is expected. You get zero credit for maintaining the baseline. However, the moment there is a flicker in the service, a lost job, a moment of weakness, or a failure to read a mind, the complaints are immediate and loud. You have moved from being a teammate to being a utility, valued only for your function, never for your essence. This dynamic creates a brutal asymmetry in the emotional contract you signed without reading. In simpler terms, your contributions to the marriage are modeled as fixed obligations. The mortgage must be paid, the protection must be constant, and your stoicism must be unbreakable. Her contributions, however, have been rebranded as optional gifts, dependent on her fluctuating internal state. If you fail to provide, you are a deadbeat, breaking a promise. If she fails to provide warmth, support, or intimacy, she is simply honoring her feelings or having a bad day. In practice, this looks like a workplace where one employee has strict KPIs and performance reviews, while the other shows up only when the mood strikes, yet both claim an equal share of the paycheck. This starvation of genuine reciprocity triggers a specific type of psychological decay. Men do not need constant praise, but they biologically require respect. It is the psychological oxygen that fuels male competence. When you strip a man of gratitude and reduce him to a wallet with a pulse, you aren't just annoying him. You are slowly suffocating his drive. You begin to feel a deep, gray exhaustion that sleep cannot fix, because it isn't physical, it's existential. You are pouring resources into a black hole that refuses to reflect any light back. But the exhaustion isn't even the most dangerous part. The real trap is about to snap shut when we look at how the system manages your authority, which brings us to the mathematical impossibility of your position. In any functional hierarchy, whether in the military, corporate business, or aviation, there is a golden rule. Authority must always match responsibility. If you are held accountable for the safety of the ship, you must possess the absolute power to steer the rudder. Modern marriage has violently inverted this universal law, placing the husband in a state of structural paralysis. You are designated as the head of household only when it comes to liability. If the mortgage defaults, it is your failure as a provider. If the family lacks security, it is your failure as a protector. Yet in the daily operations of that household, your decision-making power has been eroded to zero. You are held completely responsible for the outcome, but you are systematically vetoed on the methods required to achieve it. Consider this dynamic through the lens of a high-stakes project manager. Imagine being hired to construct a skyscraper where you are legally liable if the building collapses. However, every time you attempt to select the grade of steel or approve the safety protocols, a stakeholder with zero engineering experience and fluctuating moods overrides you because she doesn't feel like it. If the building stands tall, the team gets the award. If the foundation cracks, you are the one who is fired and sued. This is the precise architecture of your home life. You are tasked with maximizing long-term security and logic, while the system prioritizes short-term emotional comfort and lifestyle, leaving you with no mechanism to override dangerous decisions without triggering a domestic war. In simpler terms, this creates a psychological state known as the double bind. You are trapped in a no-win scenario where every move is wrong. If you attempt to assert authority to fix a problem, you are labeled controlling or toxic. If you step back to avoid conflict, you are labeled passive and unambitious. If you have ever felt like you are walking on eggshells in your own living room, terrified of upsetting a delicate balance, that is not paranoia. That is pattern recognition. You are trying to play a strategy game where the rules are rewritten every 10 minutes by the opponent, and the only consistent rule is that you are always on the defensive. The system demands you to be a leader, but punishes you the moment you actually lead. This leads many men to adopt a strategy of appeasement, often summarized by the toxic mantra, "Happy wife, happy life." Understand that this is not advice, it is a threat. It implies that your peace of mind is being held hostage by her momentary satisfaction. You are essentially paying a ransom of your own agency just to buy a temporary ceasefire. You believe that if you just explain the logic clearly enough, the dynamic will change, but you cannot negotiate with a system designed to consume you. You are fighting a battle for logic, unaware that the battlefield has already shifted to a far more dangerous territory, which brings us to the financial devastation you are unknowingly accruing every single day. Let's strip away the romantic veneer and analyze this strictly as a venture capitalist analyzing a business merger. If a financial advisor brought you an investment opportunity with a guaranteed 50% failure rate, where the penalty for failure was the liquidation of half your current assets and a lien on your future earnings for the next 2 decades, you wouldn't just reject it, you would report them for fraud. Yet this is the exact legal reality of the modern marriage license. You are entering a binding contract where you assume 100% of the liability for the infrastructure, while the other party gains 50% equity in your life's work the moment the ink dries, often without contributing equivalent capital. In simpler terms, you are securitizing your own freedom. You are betting your house, your retirement, and your sanity on a partner who is statistically incentivized by the family court system to break the contract the moment they feel unfulfilled. The financial toxicity goes deeper than just asset division. It is built into the operational costs of the partnership. In economics, we look at the trend lines of cost versus return. In this specific dynamic, the cost of maintaining the relationship, the larger house, the newer cars, the lifestyle inflation to keep her happy, compounds annually. This is pure inflation. However, the return on that investment, the intimacy, the peace, the loyalty, depreciates rapidly over the same period. You are pouring increasing amounts of liquidity into an asset that is losing value every single quarter. If this were a factory, you would shut it down. If this were a stock, you would sell. But because it is wrapped in the language of love and commitment, you are shamed into doubling down on a losing position, hoping that if you just pay a little more, the market will turn in your favor. Furthermore, consider the concept of hostile leverage. In a healthy business, partners share the risk. In this modern arrangement, the risk is entirely asymmetric. The system grants your partner a put option, the right to sell her shares, divorce, at a premium price, alimony and assets, at any time, for any reason, including simple boredom. This creates a perverse incentive structure. She is not incentivized to work through difficulties or maintain the business because the severance package is often more lucrative than the salary. You are effectively keeping a loaded gun in the house that only she knows how to fire. and you are paying the insurance premiums on the very weapon that will be used to dismantle your life. This is not paranoia. This is reading the fine print of the state laws that govern your union. Most men stay in this bad trade because of the sunk cost fallacy. The irrational belief that because you have already invested 10 years, you must invest 10 more to make it worth it. But in the cold light of logic, holding on to a toxic asset never makes it profitable. It only deepens the bankruptcy. You are working overtime to sustain a lifestyle that could be taken away by a single signature on a divorce petition. The financial ruin is terrifying, yes, but it is merely the quantifiable side of the equation. The true cost is something far more personal and humiliating, revealed only when you compare the dignity you get at home to the dignity available in the open market. Which brings us to the brutal reality of your intimate value. Think about the last time a waitress, a barista, or a complete stranger smiled at you genuinely. It cost you perhaps $5 for a coffee, or maybe nothing at all, just a moment of basic human decency. She looked you in the eye, acknowledged your existence, and treated you with a baseline of pleasantness. Now contrast that $5 interaction with the reception you get walking into the home you pay for, from the woman whose lifestyle you completely subsidize. You likely receive a sigh of annoyance, a critical glance, or the back of a head glued to a phone screen. The contrast is nauseatingly sharp. You are paying thousands of dollars a month in mortgage, bills, and security for a person who treats you with less warmth than a stranger paid minimum wage to hand you a receipt. This isn't just ungrateful. It is a complete inversion of value where the person closest to you offers the lowest return on human connection. We are taught to view transactional relationships as cold and marriage as warm. But look at the reality of your data. In a commercial transaction, the terms are honest. You pay a fee, you receive a service, and a smile. It is respectful. In your domestic arrangement, you pay everything, your labor, your future, your energy, and in exchange, you receive a partner who acts as if she is doing you a favor by tolerating your presence. In simpler terms, you are financing your own disrespect. You have become the donor for a host that resents the very resources it consumes. It forces you to ask a terrifying question: why does the world out there treat you like a man, while the world inside your house treats you like a nuisance? You are starving for affection at a banquet you paid for, but are not allowed to eat. This dynamic becomes most brutal when we look at the bedroom, which has transformed from a place of mutual desire into a battleground of negotiation. Marriage creates a monopoly. You are legally and morally forbidden from seeking intimacy elsewhere. Yet the only supplier available has declared an embargo. Intimacy is no longer a shared expression of love. It is a weaponized, scarce resource, dispensed only when you have earned it through sufficient chores or behavioral compliance. This reduces you to a state of humiliating adolescence, walking on eggshells, hoping your behavior was good enough to be granted physical touch. When you are rejected, again, it is not just sexual frustration you feel, it is a deep, corroding shame. You are made to feel like a predator in your own bed, simply for desiring the woman who vowed to be yours. The psychological toll of this intimacy starvation is catastrophic. When a man is repeatedly denied respect and touch by his partner, he doesn't just get angry, he begins to internalize the rejection. You look in the mirror and you don't see a provider or a protector anymore. You see someone unworthy. This is the mechanism of depression that society ignores in men. It's not a chemical imbalance. It is a rational response to living in an environment that actively invalidates your masculinity. You are functioning, going to work and paying the bills, but inside, the lights have gone out. You are carrying a silent grief. mourning the death of the man you used to be, while the person sleeping next to you remains completely indifferent to the shell you have become. This is the moment of terminal clarity. You realize that the pain isn't going to stop because the system isn't designed to fix it. The system is designed to sustain it at your expense. You are standing at the edge of a cliff, realizing that the security you sacrificed everything for is actually a prison cell. The fear of leaving, the fear of loneliness, suddenly looks different. You realize that there is no loneliness more crushing than being alone in a room with someone who is supposed to love you, but doesn't even like you. The pain of staying has finally exceeded the fear of the unknown, which forces you to make the only move left on the board that restores your command. The moment you decide to step off this treadmill, society will try to label you. They will call you afraid of commitment or immature. Reject those labels immediately. Refusing to play a rigged game is not cowardice. It is the highest form of intelligence. You are not failing to secure a wife. You are succeeding in securing your future. This is the strategic opt-out. It is the rational realization that the only winning move in a scenario with negative equity and unlimited liability is to not sit at the table. When you reclaim your resources, your time, your money, and your attention, you are not retreating into a void. You are repatriating your life's energy. You are taking the capital you used to burn, trying to keep a dying fire alive, and investing it back into the only asset that will never betray you, yourself. Consider the tangible reality of a sovereign life. In simpler terms, it is the return of silence, not the lonely silence of rejection, but the golden silence of peace. You walk into your home, and the atmosphere is exactly how you left it, calm, ordered, and yours. There is no walking on eggshells, no dread of a sudden mood shift, no negotiation for basic dignity. Your resources begin to accumulate rapidly because the inflation of an ungrateful partner is gone. You buy the car you want, you pursue the hobbies you buried, and you sleep with the deep, untroubled rest of a man who owes nothing to anyone. This is not selfishness. This is self-preservation. You have moved from being a utility to being the CEO of your own existence. The anxiety that plagued you evaporates because you have eliminated the source of the friction. The system is terrified of men who are happy alone because it relies on your desperation to function. By choosing sovereignty, you disrupt the supply chain of disposable male labor. You are no longer the drone seeking a queen. You are the architect building your own kingdom. Do not let the fear of being alone trick you into returning to the cage. The loneliness of freedom is temporary and curable. The misery of a bad marriage is systemic and terminal. Choose the path of dignity. It requires courage to walk away from the script society wrote for you. But on the other side of that decision lies the one thing you have been starving for all along. Your life, fully and unapologetically, returned to your command. This is not the end of your story. It is the beginning of your reign. If this diagnosis validated the silence you feel in your own home, you already know the next step. Join us as we keep decoding the mechanics of the system designed to extract your value. Question for you. Is the fear of loneliness the only thing keeping you in the cage? Drop your thought below. I read every reply.